Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's conference call covering the test flows from Fort Peck Dam. This call is open to the public to provide information on the status of the test flows from Fort Peck Dam and designed to ensure compliance with the 2018 biological opinion. I am Eileen Williamson and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media review at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line to ask a question, press star 6 or use the interface with WebEx on your computer screen. The forced mute function may not work on all phones, so if I ask, please use your phone's own mute function and do not place the call on hold. The question and answer session will be at the end of the call. The agenda is as follows. John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division, will provide details regarding test flows from Fort Peck Dam. We have Pat Broughton from the U.S. Geological Survey to provide information on telemetry and the pallid sturgeon. And then if there is any additional information, we'll have an update from Randy Sellers. With that, I will hand the call over to John Remus.
Thank you, Eileen. There was no outstanding questions or outstanding information requests in the last meeting, so I'll just move into what we're planning over the next several weeks. The first peak flow is over. We're down to our intermediate flow, our inner peak flow, excuse me. Releases from Fort Peck Dam are averaging 10,000 CFS, and we plan to hold those at least through the end of the month. That's all I really have. There's not a lot of changes in the operations of Fort Peck Dam, so I'll turn it over to, I think, Randy Sellers, if you want to talk a little bit about the monitoring now, and then we'll turn it over to Pat Broughton.
That sounds good, John. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Yes.
Thanks. Good afternoon, folks. We have collected quite a bit of data so far. We collected a round of LIDAR with aerial photography from Fort Peck to basically Lakes Kakawea before the test flow began. We've collected a round of that data for the LIDAR and aerial photography during that first peak. We also collected the physical survey information during the first peak that involved water surface elevations every mile all the way down from Peck to Lake Sac, spillway exit channel surveys, and surveys of irrigation intakes as well. The cultural resource monitoring has kicked off. They will be in the field starting Monday. They had several permits and other elements to gather before they could hit the field. Water quality sampling equipment is all in place, collecting data. We're going to download the first round of data next week when the team is up in the area doing that work and other work. And Dr. Bono will be up in the area next week as well. He's going to be meeting with a few folks, I think some of the irrigators included in folks that he's meeting with. And Dr. Bono is also going to install some cameras at a few of the irrigation intakes. So we'll have some time series photos of what it looks like when the water surface elevation rises and falls and all the other occurrences that happened during that, and that's about it for a monitoring update. Thank you.
Thanks, Randy. And for those of you that are dialed in, where you can see the computer screen, that link to the feedback form online is on the current slide, and we'll go back to it after Pat's update. And with that, I'll hand it over to Pat.
Thank you. Can you queue up those slides? All right, thanks. In today's presentation, I'll just give you an overview The pallid sturgeon, the telemetry, the work that's been going on, and really give you an update since last week. There may be some new callers on the line today, and I wanted to just bring up this map of the Upper Missouri River Basin and the radio telemetry system that is in place to detect pallid sturgeon responses to the Fort Peck test flows. It's a project that was started a few years back in anticipation of the intake work, and also in anticipation of the Fort Peck test flows that were going on. But the MyCart system does contain 30 cellular linked telemetry logging stations. These are constantly monitoring for fish passage across the stations. And it currently covers 180 miles of the Missouri River from the spillway of Fort Peck Dam down to the confluence of the Yellowstone River, 240 miles of the Yellowstone River from the confluence with the Mississippi River or the Missouri River up to Cartersville, and also contains stations in the Lower Milk, the Tongue, and the Powder Rivers. There was one additional station that was deployed last week in the middle Powder River as well by our partners. And the system is absolutely critical for informing biologists, administrators of the latest fish movements. Reports are generated, downloaded from the system two times a day and disseminated to several of us. So we have an idea of where these fish are, how they are moving in the system, and where they may be going. Okay, you can go on to the next slide. So last week I showed you a figure very similar to this. This is updated with information as of yesterday. However, with the field crews in the field yesterday, I can give you some even more recent updates. So the black line here gives you the idea of the discharge. This is measured at Culbertson. So the releases out of Fort Peck started on, I think it was April 26th, fairly flat line down at Culbertson until you hit about the 27th and 28th. That water started to get into the lower portions of the river and peaked out at about 18,000 CFS, and then has come down in recent days with a little bit of an increase coming in the last couple of days. Since last week's update to you, there were two new fish that moved into the system. One is this code 359, that is a female, and also this code 272, which is a female. As I say in the notes here, these two fish need to be assessed. Crews yesterday did capture the one female, code 272. That is a wild female, and she is reproductive. She is full of eggs, and she's ready to go. The crew is also out today trying to capture this female code 359 to determine if she is reproductive, carrying eggs as well. So two fish entered as of yesterday. I think there was one more on the station either today or late last night that also moved into the lower Missouri River as well. So running back through time, we had these three fish, code 165, 182, and 326 that entered the Missouri River prior to the flows hitting the lower station at Culbertson there. There were six fish that entered during the elevated flows, the higher flows coming down the system. Then you have these last two. But not all fish have stayed. There's been a few fish that have exited the test reach, code 222, 273, 377, and 387 most recently. Okay, next slide. And then just to give you a visual perspective of where these fish are, their last locations. So the telemetered pallid sturgeon are distributed from the most upstream location right now, right around Fraser Rapids, known to the locals also as Peterson Point, all the way down to the lowermost logging station at Fort Buford there. So we do know at this point that there are four reproductive females. As I mentioned, this crew just yesterday after the slide was put together, captured another female. So this code 272 is now reproductive as well. Code 422 is reproductive. Code 262 is reproductive. And code 377 is reproductive as well. This code 272 that I have shown down in the lower portion of the Missouri River was actually captured up near the cluster of fish near code 422 and 262 last night. So she's making very rapid upstream movements. And really for all these fish, there's a gradual upstream progression. Fish in the upper portion of the river beyond upstream from code 337 were all detected at one of the logging stations at Oswego. So that does it.
Great, thank you. I'm gonna go back to the slide with the feedback URL on it. We'll move to the question and answer session. At present, we have 52 callers on the line, and I wanna thank everyone for joining us. Because this test is centered on areas immediately downstream of Fort Peck Dam, we'll start with individuals calling from Montana and then North Dakota, and then we will field calls by state in alphabetical order. Be sure to state your name and the organization if you represent one, before asking your question or making your statement. Remember to press star 6 to unmute your phone, and you may need to unmute from your computer screen if you use the webinar to call in. Starting with the state of Montana.
This is Dick Iverson, Missouri River Council in Montana. I was wondering, Mr. Rotten there, these fish, are a portion of them planted and are a portion of them, you call them a wild fish? Or, what's the makeup percentage-wise of those fish that you've been recording went up the Missouri?
So the code 272 female is a wild female. The code 262 fish is a wild female. And can you go one more slide? Yeah, so, and code 337 is a hatchery fish, as is the code 422, that is a hatchery fish as well. So this picture that is shown of the pallid sturgeon here, that is code 262. That is one of the wild females.
I'm on a phone, so I don't have the slides. So are some of those hatchery fish mature enough now, Pat, where they could reproduce if the stars lined up right?
Indeed. Yeah, the code 337, like I said, is a hatchery female. The 422 is as well. So yeah, they are carrying eggs and they should be reproductive, ready to go this year.
Compared to your studies previously, do you think there's more fish moving up with this little bump compared to years when it was down on that 8,000 to 9,000 CFS?
So I'd have to think back a little bit. Like in 2018, you know, when water came out of the spillway, you know, there were, what, three or four reproductive females. One happened to be a wild female, plus a couple of hatchery fish as well. So, you know, this isn't the first time that hatchery fish have been in the system.
And I will post
the
slides.
That's all I had. Thanks.
You bet.
Thank you, Dick. And I will post the slides on our Facebook page along with the recording of this call. Next up, we have Julie Goss.
Yeah, my question was, how many of these telemetry fish are there out there? And what is a good indicator? I mean, is four a good indicator, or six or eight of you're getting your goal accomplished? Or this kind of goes hand in hand with Dick's question.
Okay. Yeah, so keeping tabs on the transmitter, the number of fish we have can be challenging. There's, and I'll give you an example of that. There's one fish. It was a hatchery fish from 2 years ago. Normally they're on 2-year cycles. She should be ready to go this year. She hasn't been found anywhere. Matter of fact, I think last year she had one detection on her. So there are some females that we are still hunting down, expecting that they should show up this year, and they haven't shown up. Another one I think is like a code 280, which is a wild female. There's one more, code 255, that is somewhere in the system. Just haven't seen her lately. So some of these fish will stay in the lower portions of the Missouri River, like below the Yellowstone confluence, where it is deep, conductivity is high, it's difficult to detect them. We hope that they move out of that system and then either come up the Missouri River or the Yellowstone River, where detection likelihood is much better. We can capture them and assess them. So given that, you know, there's some fish in the lower part of the river that we can't find, or we might find intermittently. But for the Missouri River, you know, we are tracking that quite consistently, along with the logging stations, being able to detect these fish and find them. So on all that, there are roughly 40 wild pallid sturgeon that have transmitters in them. A lot of those are males. Some of them are females in their off cycle right now. But yeah, a lot of males as well. And we're also in a constant mode of capturing these fish and putting in new transmitters if their old transmitters are expiring. There's one frequency of fish out there on the 620 frequency. Several of those transmitters have expired or are nearing expiring. That's part of the duties of our crews, is to capture those fish, assess them, re-implant them with the new transmitters, and hopefully get like 4 to 5 years of life out of those transmitters.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Julie. Any other from the state of Montana? Okay, we'll move to North Dakota. All right, moving to Iowa. Kansas. Looking to see if there's any hands up. Not that I see. Missouri. Nebraska. South Dakota. Wyoming. Any others I may have missed?
Eileen?
Yes.
Paul Lepisto from Pierce, South Dakota.
Hey, Paul.
Thanks for the call again this week. Appreciate the update. Question for Pat. I know it would be tough to hazard a guess on the wild pallids that you're finding on the age of those fish. You obviously would know what the age of the hatchery fish that you're interacting with. Any guesses on the age of the wild ones?
Yeah, actually, a very, very good estimate on age. So back in about 2012, 2013, somewhere in there, we actually set out to address that. We looked at carbon-14, a byproduct of atomic bomb testing. Atmospheric levels of carbon-14 skyrocketed when the nuclear bomb testing started in the mid-1950s. And that carbon was absorbed by the otoliths and pallid sturgeon, and it served as a very, very good marker for the age of these. So, back in 2013, 2014, somewhere in there, we got our hands on a handful of pallid sturgeon that had died through the years. They were stored down at the Whole Fish Repository down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We went down there, we extracted their otoliths, sent those otoliths off for carbon-14 testing. And I think it was 11 or 12 of those big wild adults that we had assayed. And the carbon-14 concentrations in their otoliths laid down during that birth year, all those were very low, fit the baseline for atmospheric levels of carbon-14, and they all came back as pre-1957. So that was as far back as we could really, really go with the carbon-14. So for that handful of fish, or that dozen or so, we have very, very, very strong data to indicate they were born pre-1957.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Paul.
This is Dick Iverson again. So, Pat, are some of those that are swimming the river now, though, they're more just, are they more when Sakakawea went in just before that, or are you thinking that a lot of them are in that pre-57?
A lot of them are in that pre-57. So we only had a sample, dozen fish or so. But it, you know, at that time there were 125 or so of the wild pallid sturgeon that were swimming around. So we only had a handful of those fish, from which to make inferences. But you know, all those did come back, you know, as pre-1957. And you know, it's not to say there hasn't been, you know, any recruitment. We run into some, you know, small fish, some small wild pallid sturgeon out there. You know, one, a code 69 from several years back was only, I think, 9 kilos or 8 kilos, something like that. Small fish, is that really a, you know, 65-year-old, 70-year-old fish? Potentially. Maybe it's just a really short person like myself, or a really short fish like me as a short person. But, you know, from the sample of fish that we had, they all came back as pre-1957. And that timing does fit right in with the construction and the filling of Sakakawea.
I got one. This is Dick again. I got one statement I'd like to make if I got a half a minute now, or would it be better later?
You're fine. Go ahead.
The Missouri River Council, which is all the conservation districts up and down the Missouri in Montana, are hosting their quarterly meeting in Sydney on May 21st. Joe Bono has agreed to come give a little talk on what's going on. And Pat, you're more than welcome, or anybody else that would like to show up. It's at Sydney at, I believe, the Extension Service just north of town. And then in the afternoon, after Joe gets done, he's also going to have his cameras there, and if there's any producers that want to, and there's extras that want to put a monitoring on their site, he's going to give a little demo on how to hook those up and get them going. And then we're going to go out and just look at a couple pump sites from about noon on. And I did call or email Wayne Statsky Nelson if he was interested to come up. Anybody that wants to is sure welcome to. We'll just be informative, and there might be some, I don't know how many producers, but at least a chance to dialogue a little. So just to let you know, thank you.
Thank you for that additional information, Dick. With that, anyone, I don't see any hands up. I'll give you one last chance before I hand it over to John, who will also probably give you a last chance. All right, John Remus, over to you. Oh, wait, I see Doug Hardy. I see you coming off mute.
Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't raise my hand. I'm just curious, okay. And John can address it when he comes back on. I think I heard him say that it was 10,000 CFS coming from Fort Peck. And I question on sometimes the numbers. Are we talking about at Wolf Point or at Fort Peck? So if that's correct, about what elevation did that mean at Wolf Point? Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. And I am going to hand the call back to John to close it.
Yeah, thank you, Eileen. Yeah, we are releasing right now. Releases are 10,000 CFS average daily releases from Fort Peck. What that relates to a stage at Wolf Point will really depend on how much pickup we get from the Milk River. Right now, we're getting. Let me pull it up here. About. Based on the gauge, we're getting about 2,200 CFS out of the, or 2,200 CFS out of the Milk River. So as the Milk River drops off, we're going to see less there. I would say it probably relates to about a stage of a 12 and a half feet, give or take, at Wolf Point.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
John, I'll let you close the call. I do want to just remind everyone that these calls will continue every Wednesday through mid-July. I'm trying to avoid sending repeated emails out as I am getting requests to be removed from our mailing list, and would prefer not to do that if I don't have to. So please add this to your calendars. The call-in information will not change, but it will be every Wednesday, 1 o'clock Central, 12 o'clock Mountain.
Okay, thank you, Eileen. I ran over today quite a bit of information about the monitoring and data collection that's going on. I just want to caution everybody that I think it's going to be very hard to draw any real conclusions one way or the other on any of these issues based on this single test. We're collecting a lot of data. It's going to take some time to analyze that data. And there are a lot of factors that impact, erosion, fish movement, fish spawning, and so on and so forth. Hence, we're probably going to have, that's why we have a series of 3 to 5 tests in the biop. So I just want to caution everybody that if you see something happening with your with a particular data set, it may or may not be because of the test, because there's just so many factors out there. So with that, one last opportunity for questions or comments. And if not, we will close the meeting. Hearing none, let's close the meeting, Eileen.
That concludes today's call.